All right, welcome everybody to the Board of Equalization for August 20th. Just so everybody knows, the hearings are recorded, tape recorded, so everything will be captured and there's a record of everything going on. So we will start with Mr. Secretary, do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do, 5 for 5.
All right, thank you. Let the record show. We have the Chair, Mr. Keister, Secretary, Mr. Kearse, Ms. Goodrum, Mr. Fugue, and Mr. Saltzman, who will be a voting member today. Next thing is we'll do is a Pledge of Allegiance. The office stands.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Okay. Next thing is reading a FOIA statement. So this hearing is open to the public. Is there anyone present who is not here to appeal the real estate assessment that wishes to address the Board of Equalization? Okay, so let the record show there's no statements. Excellent. Okay, so we'll go ahead and go into the hearings. The first appeal will be appeal number 6810. Wooly, Stephen, and Wendy, and I think we have them present here.
Yep.
So, and then we have the court. So what I'm going to ask you to do is if each of you would state your name, and I don't think you need to spell your name, but hold on. Oh, I lost the sheet. So state your name for the record so that we have it and so that we know how to pronounce your name correctly. And then afterwards, we'll all swear you all in. So if you state your names.
Wendy Wooly. Okay.
Stephen Wooly.
In the core.
Laura Jones.
Okay.
Patrick Jewell.
Great. All right. So, and for all four of you, if you'd raise your hand, do you swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
All right. Thank you. Let the record show that both the appellant and the core representatives have been sworn in. Okay, so just real quick, I'll give you a brief summary. The way the hearing will work is you'll start off with you present your petition, your appeal, and then the commissioner's office, the core, we just call them core, but the commissioner of revenues representatives will present their side of the case, and then at that point, board members will ask questions. I ask that you address the board, not each other, because the hearing, we are holding a hearing. I will be paid attention during the hearing. So somebody says something and it's like, ooh, yeah, that sounds a little crazy. You know, if I see you like shake your head or something, or if you want to say something, just like sort of raise your finger and I'll note it and I'll make sure to come to you so you can respond or add something. And it's the same with the board members. The board members will let me know that they want to speak. Once we go through the questions and answers, then at some point a motion will be called. And then once the motion is called, then the board members will have a final opportunity to ask any final questions or if you have any statements. Normally the statements are the board member explaining why they're going to vote the way they're going to vote. Doesn't always happen, but sometimes. And then at that point, I'll call the vote. And that's it. So, do you have any questions before we start?
No, sir.
Is there a time frame that you'd like us to stay within?
No. I mean, look, it's an appeal, so you have the right to share your information. I mean, I will try to, gentlemanly make sure that we stay on topic. If I do hear things being repeated over and over, I'll just say so. So I think we've already brought that up. So,
okay.
But yeah, no specific time on it.
Thank you.
So if you'd like to go ahead and start, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you.
To get started, I would like to at least, I've got 5 copies, sorry if I don't have enough.
Is this information that has already been submitted?
This is the submitted information from the county.
Okay.
And some of the information was submitted through the portal.
Okay.
It's just a review and analysis because it goes along with our speaking
points. Okay, we can hand that to the Corps. So what happens is if you want to submit something into the hearing that wasn't submitted in the record beforehand, we have the Corps take a look at it to make sure that that they're willing and able to address it.
And in addition, the appraiser, I think, made a slight error in assessing the house, that it was a masonry front. So we're providing a photo that shows that it's siding on top of masonry as opposed to the next door house, which is masonry front.
Okay. So if you can provide that to the Corps, I'll give them a chance to look at it. The reason is because trying to digest the new information. I mean, as board members, it's not as hard, but the Commissioner of Revenue has to look at the facts you're stating and whether they're germane.
And it's 100% match of all of your data in your database from what you provided in the packet for today. So we've got this document here that's called the Analysis of Comparable Properties. It's 3 pages long. It goes from what we provided for the comps from the county, and then equitable comps. And so that is probably part of your packet.
We'll get the comps.
Yeah.
We get your comps and we get the appraiser's comps.
And we'll be speaking to that in our, he's got the review, but we will be speaking to that data, which is why we have included that in this document. And it helps to demonstrate the information behind our appeal.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, we'll give the Corps a second to take a look at it.
Thank you.
I'll make the final determination.
Yeah.
But I do try to consider what the Corps' view on that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the last hearing we actually did have that where the appellant submitted a bunch of information and ended up that a lot of the comps weren't comparable.
Yeah.
We couldn't use them.
Yeah, this is your report put in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And any data that is in here was from your online database. As I took a look at the data from 25, 24, 23, 22, year-over-year increases, et cetera. So that'll be something we're speaking to, but this is all your data. This is not from any other outside sources.
Very good. I don't know if you have a comment or question. I was talking to the Corps. Sorry.
As far as the special provided, no comment, but no issues. Not ready.
Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and just allow that. So you can pass out the document, the analysis. Make sure that Ms. Humphrey gets a copy for the record.
Yeah.
She can hand them around.
There's 4 copies. I have an extra if you need one more. We can work off of his. So there's that would be 5. I thought there were 5.
That's fine.
Okay, so please feel free to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the team's flexibility in scheduling and rescheduling as well. I know there was
You're welcome.
a little bit of back and forth there, so thank you so much. So we're here to appeal the denial in large part because the county has not yet offered, in our opinion, comparable market data points to support the increase. We've seen over 10% increase in the home's valuation in the last year compared to previous years, where that increase has been in the 3-4% range consistently, which I think is more in line with the market realities. As I alluded to, the assessor came and looked, but I believe was that the report was at least partially incorrect, stating that the property has a full masonry front, and that is not the case. It's, as I mentioned, siding atop masonry. The assessment, I think, is also an outlier when you compare it to other homes in Ashburn Farm. We have the same lot size as many of the comparables, as you see in the spreadsheet. Somehow our property is now assessed by the county at being worth over $1 million, which is the highest on our street. It also, as I mentioned, represents a 10.3% year-over-year increase in the assessment, which I don't believe is supported by data. If you refer to the spreadsheet that we passed out, you can see the feature sets associated with the 43496 Whetstone Court property do not include the number of bathrooms or screened porch, as the county's submitted assessment comparable properties do. So I think those are large distinguishing characteristics absent from our home, present in the comparables, which lend credence to our appeal. As my wife has noted in her analysis, we seem to have been lumped into homes that are that have these features and are over 3,000 square feet in total square footage. We barely cut atop that 3,000 level, but we don't have the features that are driving the assessed values of the county's comparables. So our overall request is to bring that assessment in line with previous year increases in valuation, which would be in the small single digits, not over 10%. I believe the market valuations for recent sales certainly back that up, and I believe the feature analysis that you see on the spreadsheet also back that up. If you also look at the actual neighborhood comparables, you can see where those 23, 24, and 25 valuations are, and I would submit that we're more in line with the mid 900s than we are with the million plus valuation.
I think that it's worth also noting that when we did our submission, and if you take a look at this document and you see the taxpayer submitted comparable properties, we were very diligent in being in line. And if you look at what we found when we did our assessment, the difference is really only in the lot size. And in the lot size and the valuation of land, as we look at any of the properties themselves, that is not a large swing. That is the smallest part. It's really the house itself and the property that is different. And so, while the acreage is a small difference, we did go for the same number of bedrooms. We did go for the same number of bathrooms. We did go for the same features, and we added in the screened-in porch only because it was worth noting the value to a buyer, as they would take a look at a home that has, as you see the things in blue, for those items that were the county's assessment comparable properties, and then the other comps, which were the equity comps. If you look at the things in blue, these are the things that just seem to really jump out and are off as far as comparables in our mind, because we don't have five bedrooms and we don't have more than 3.5 bathrooms. And in every single one of the comps and in every single one of the equity comps, there's a difference. Whereas in the taxpayer-submitted comparable properties, we really did the diligence to ensure that they were a fair, straight assessment, and that data to show, what was happening year over year for 22, 23, 24 valuations in 2025, and continued to demonstrate how we seem to be an outlier for reasons that we cannot substantiate through data.
All right. Okay.
I think I'm done.
That's it? Okay. And I guess you'll have a chance to respond as well. Four. I don't know, Ms. Jones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So with market value, the three comps that they use, two of them have significant differences in gross living area, above grade living area. So one of them, the comp one, is smaller by 783 square feet, and number two was 1,232 square feet.
So comp one is the 21348 Sweet Clover?
Yes.
So that's smaller than by 781 square feet?
Yeah, it's only 2,400 square foot above grade.
Okay.
And theirs is 3,195.
Okay.
And then the comp 2 was 1933 compared to the 3195.
Okay.
So those two right there, that the difference is enough. The screen port, it's accounted for in our model, and so is the bathroom difference. But that square footage is significant. The third comp that he used did not sell in 2024, so I was assuming it was used as an equity comp.
Yes,
and
yes, ma'am.
And so when I look at that, that one was one that we had determined was a lower quality of construction. So I also, his note stated that his assessed value is the highest on his street for a whetstone port. And that is correct. However, his neighbor has an assessed value of $1,770. It's only $1,300 less. And there are six properties over $990,000 on his street that have that assessed value. So he's not an oddball. I've got three market comps and three equity comps, and they all support the assessed value.
Mr. Jewell, I don't know if you had anything to add or...
No, I mean, I can answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. I'm going to start off by asking a quick question. Was the quality rating on this property changed?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so I would really like that's in the report, because that's why there's a huge jump, isn't there?
Oh, I can tell you. I mean, we for our reassessment process, we did look at it for 2025, and we found that there were some disparities that showed that there were possible properties that may have been undervalued or underassessed. And so we did do a grade review, and we did change 392 homes, and that was roughly about 21% of the neighborhood. And this was one of the models that was changed.
Okay, was that shared with the appellants that the quality ratings were changed?
We never spoke. So whatever is in the BOE was...
Okay, so I'm saying this because there's also a lot of core people in here as well, the commissioner himself, because this has come up twice already this year.
Correct.
When we're changing quality ratings, that should be... That's a material fact that should be included in the report and should be shared with the homeowners, the property owners. The reason being is because it would explain why there seems this outlier change, and that can be spoken to. So I guess then my follow-up question is, so what was it about their property and the other, whatever, 395, whatever that you said,
392 home values changed.
Yeah.
1% of the neighborhood.
So what was it about theirs that caused the quality rating to change? And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have. I'm just saying, what was the reasoning for it?
Well, like I said, when we reviewed things, we found some anomalies, and we decided to do a review of the neighborhood and determine if it was what was applicable 10 years ago was still applicable now. And we found some disparities, and we made the change. And it was all due to data that we found on MLS or through photos that we'd had or even data that we'd had. So sale data, MLS photos, anything that we could find to help us determine what was the difference. And a lot of them ended up being things such as open foyers, the bigger foyers, the bigger rooms itself. Some of the models may have had a cathedral family room, so then it may not appear to be bigger because of the square footage, but if that area was finished, it would be bigger, so the footprint of the home is bigger. And then, you know, stairs are different, cabinetry is usually different when you get into those different levels of homes.
Okay, Ms. Fee, first, I think, did you... want to say something to Lily?
Yeah.
And then I'll go to Mr. Few.
The homes in our community were all built by the same builder. And the comparables that we pulled were built by the same builder. And so, you know, while we might have a different type of in style, we did try to make sure that we picked the same builder. which means that the same things went into the homes at that time. Now, some of these comparables are not the same builder. They're not the ones that built our house. And because of that, and what we did bring forward for our comparables, I don't really believe that there is an anomaly that has taken place over the last 10 years. Nothing has changed. The foyer's the same as it was before. It happens to be a little different, but the square footage is like a little bit in the foyer, a little bit in this room. Some of the homes are longer, some of the homes are wider. But the square footage differentiation, when you take a look at the data again that we provided, you know, really shows that we're talking about 200 square feet. It's small.
And in terms of quality, you know, one humorous anecdote, I believe the only plum studs in the house I installed. So, quality has many definitions, I know.
Mr. Few, just sort of for clarification, Laura, you've given a lot of reasons for the change in the rating, but the Woolies are the ones here making their presentation. So the question I think that Kevin asked was, what was it was input to the Woolies home to change the rating? Do you know?
So the change wasn't based on upgrades that they did.
I realize that. I'm just asking if you know the reasons, or maybe Mr. Jewell knows the reasons why it was changed.
Well, I know the reason it was changed. We determined that the Franklin model was better than some of the other models
okay,
that are in that
well,
lower
that's
group.
That's an answer. We weren't getting that before.
Yes,
so I didn't
no.
Know.
We determined that his
okay.
model was one that it was a little superior compared to most
okay.
of the others in the neighborhood.
I understand that. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was my
Salzman.
Question. You had a Franklin model, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because some of these others are Bostonian, Lee.
Yes.
They're different
trying
floor
to,
plans.
The other Franklin model in our data is if you take a look at the last home on our comparables, 43464, which shows you 5 bedrooms and 4.5 baths. It's assessed at $994,500. They also, for reasons of a couple hundred square feet, had an additional 6% increase beyond the neighborhood. That is also a Franklin, and that's the only other one on the street. There's not that many of us. It's a small difference in design.
We're 4 beds, not 5.
Yeah, we're 4 bedrooms. We don't have a walkout basement. You know, our basement is subfloor. So you can't even build into the basement and call that additional bedrooms. It's not legal. There's things that you cannot do with our home that you can do with other homes who are built into a hill where they've got a full walkout. You do not have a full walkout basement.
Jones?
Yes. Bedroom count is not a valuation point in our model. The market expectation for the neighborhood is 4 bedrooms above grade, at least. So when you have a 5th bedroom, it doesn't necessarily add value. A bathroom will, but the 5th bedroom may not. Because sometimes that bedroom is in the basement. Sometimes it is, in his case, the Franklin model had an upper level loft area that was on the second floor that could be used as a second floor family room. And there was an option to enclose that for a 5th bedroom. And so that his doesn't have the option. So his is just an open loft area. So he has the same everything else except for maybe the bathroom count compared to another Franklin that did enclose the 5th bedroom.
Okay.
A couple of questions. So the increase in the quality type was because of the Franklin model?
It wasn't
in
just the
general
Franklin.
Terms.
It wasn't just the Franklin model. I changed probably 20 models.
Okay, but I mean, that in this case, that was part of the driving.
It was part of it, but that wasn't, there was no one single thing. It
okay.
was, a you know, looking at all the data and finding several different points to make the determination to make a change.
All right, and I think I know the answer to this, but the difference in the square footage of the lot size didn't have a value, didn't make a difference on the land value.
No, the land value...
It shouldn't have.
No, the other land values on his street, there were a couple that he pointed out. They were because I think he's got a 0.34. There's another one that's a 0.34, has the same land value, and there's one that was 0.43, and it has a slightly higher. So 302,700 compared to the 305,400. So it was just a slight increase for the difference.
I guess my question is, the quarter-acre lots are the same value as a third of an acre lot.
Relatively. Not exactly. There's a slight adjustment for individual size, but yes, it's essentially the same lot value.
Okay, good. Good.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but if you had two houses, everything is identical, same living area, everything, bathroom, everything's the same. They're both 3,000 square feet. One has four bedrooms, one has five. What difference would that be in how they're assessed?
For the bedroom count, nothing.
All right. Okay.
Location.
All right. Okay.
The other Franklin model you guys pointed out too, 4364?
Yes.
You guys are at the end of the cul-de-sac, right?
We are.
Yeah. So that would be further up in the street. But
they're halfway up. There's a picture of... there's a picture in there, and they are noted on the photo that we provided in our submission.
Mm-hmm.
They're right next to the pipe stem. They have a walkout basement. They have an additional bedroom. They have an additional bathroom. They have a full kitchen in the basement with a whole nother bedroom that is used. So they have a lot more in the home. And as a buyer, as you're taking a look at comparables, as you're taking a look at what a buyer would be interested in doing, you know, sure, go for another bedroom. You have an office. We don't have an office. We stick the office in the loft. You have other things in these other homes. You know, Bostonians have a separate office. We don't. They may have some other bedrooms. And so as a buyer, as you go in and you say, I want to purchase this home, what are the features that are most important to us? We lack those. That's not part of our home.
Board members, any other questions?
I have a question from Laura. Laura, you had said regarding the owner's comparables, the first two were significantly smaller in terms of square feet. And then the third one that they submitted, you said it was a lower quality. It's still built by Manhattan, but the model is dogwood. Can you comment on the quality? Because when I look at the condition on this analysis, they're all the condition for theirs is 5, and it's a quality rating of 5, condition of average.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just kind of speak to why that Dogwood Manhattan is a 4 instead of a 5 quality rating?
Which one are you referring to?
On the page, the analysis of comparable properties, the source owner market comps, you got the subject property in the left column, and then the next two comparables are the two comparables you mentioned that are smaller in square foot, and then the final one you said is just the quality is not as great.
Okay. Comp 3. I did include some photos from some general waste photos from MLS and some floor plans.
Yeah.
And so that one is a dogwood. This one's in that mix where it has some features of both the grade 4 and the grade 5, both grades. However, we determined that this one was slightly less. It was not as good as the regular ones that we would consider good quality, and it had more to do with the layout and what we could see in the photos. The kitchen is smaller. That foyer area is very small. And so when you look at those compared to his model, the Franklin, there's a difference in how you're going to see your rooms. For instance, the see the dining room on this one, that's probably not the good one, but the kitchen is mostly what's relevant. Is the kitchens or the master bedrooms? Yeah, the Franklin model has the curved staircase, and this one doesn't either.
Okay.
Ms. Lawley?
I do have some comments on that. The Dogwood 2 is the most comparable home to our home in all of the homes. I say that because the difference of a curved staircase versus a straight staircase is true. The configuration of the home from there on out is the same. You walk in, the rooms are in the same place, there's a loft. And for the comparable that we gave, you'll notice that it's a Dogwood 2 with kitchen extension. And so there are Dogwood 2s where the people did not pay for the bump out for the kitchen. This one has a kitchen bump out, so the kitchen is not smaller. As I mentioned in the beginning, configuration of the homes is a little here, a little there. So it's 200 square feet. Okay, some of it's in the foyer, I agree that we have a curved foyer, but that does not improve living quality. It just means that maybe you can have more people standing in there at the same time. But the home, the rooms are in the same place. The configuration is the same. Truly, it is the same home layout. And so that is why we did pick that one. But the kitchen, if you are looking at a Dogwood without the bump out, maybe you could make the point about kitchen change and difference. But if you're looking at one with the kitchen bump out, then they're equivalent.
Okay, Mr. Jewell?
If we could, just to that point, if you could pull up those photos again, you can just look at those, you know, comparisons. So the property on the left here on this page, that's the Dogwood. So there's the kitchen there on the left. It does have the bump out kitchen. You see that kind of like that cabinet on the right. Yeah. There we go. Would it help if I went and point at it?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
So it does have the bump out. You know, this part is bumped out. So you can see like this angle of the cabinet kind of pushing this wall out. So it is a bit bigger. But if you scroll up, so this is the Dogwood. There's no island. It's still relatively, you can see the space. If we can scroll back up, all the way up.
Another page.
So yep, here you go. Here is an example of the subject property, not the subject property, but another of the Franklin model. That's their that's the kitchen of that model. So look at the difference in size. You have a large island option. I mean, this is a pretty noticeable difference between those two. And so, yeah, some of the square footage, even with the comparison to that Dogwood, is maybe a couple hundred square feet. But these kind of features in the home, these are the kind of things we look at for quality ratings. There are differences in room size, that difference in room size there of maybe a couple feet makes a huge difference. And when you look at the difference of, you know, more cabinets, big, large island, and if you look here at the foyer, like, I understand, we pointed out, up a little bit, yeah, that curved staircase, understandably, it may not look as much, but that is a sign of architectural design, features. I mean, it costs more to build that. It takes more craftsmanship to build that. It's harder for somebody, it takes more skill to build this correctly, even if maybe it may not be straight all the time. I know builders are what they are, but, you know, it's still more to engineer this versus a straight downstairs that goes down to here. Like, this is something, you know, you can, every builder can do this. That's definitely a feature of a nicer home. And that's just, as Laura said, all these things come together. So it's hard to say any one little thing, but when you start seeing these features, they kind of start adding up. And you see those, and they all add together, and you see, okay, well, this house is definitely on a kind of different tier than that particular model. So there will be times, even within builders, where you'll have the same builder builds different quality homes depending on A, the project, B, even within the same project, you'll have different series. Like Van Meter will build within the same neighborhood, there's, you know, the entry level model, the mid level, and then the executive level model, what have you. Toll Brothers does it, they all kind of do it. And so that understandably is where there's, you know, a lot of gray area where, you know, we have to look at all those components together. And when you add them all up, looking at this particular home, you know, the Franklin model, they do have a lot of those features in a nicer home. And what we're seeing is, you know, we look at most of those Manhattan homes as provided, if they're selling in that $1 million range. If you look at current assessment, you know, they're in that 990 to million, just over $1 million. That's where they're all at. And so that's what we want to focus on versus, I understand, year-over-year change for 2022 and 2023 is something maybe looking at, but unfortunately they're not quite relevant to this moment where we're looking at equity between this year's value of these like-type homes or similar-type homes within 2025. So if you look, for example, the one they did provide, I would agree, 43464 Whetstone on the street. It's another Franklin home. It's assessed there at 994.5. It's right there within less than 1% of the subject property's value. And the difference there in value is attributed to a number of little things. And we do adjust for things like bathrooms, so that property will have more value attributed to the extra bathroom. However, in our system, we show them having as less finished basement area, so that's getting less value versus subject. I just checked our system. I know the appellant mentioned they had a kitchen in the basement. We don't have that on our record, so we may have to follow up on that. And just
it's a nicer house.
A lawn neighbor.
It's a nicer house. It's a walkout. I mean, geez.
We're going to see your neighbors next year.
They have an in-law suite in the basement.
So we can look at that. You know, that would tell me that house still, if we all agree that house is comparable in a fair comparison for equity, they're assessed equitably with each other. Those two houses are assessed the same. And looking at the other similar homes of other Manhattan models, as well as other similar comparable models, they did provide, even on the owner's comps, they that, you know, the Manhattan and Bostonian is also a grade 5 home. That is a nice model that Manhattan builds. It did sell for 910, but again, it's 700 square feet smaller. So that above grade square footage is a large driver in value. And the house is, let's see, probably 20% smaller, so you know, that makes sense. It's over on 910, and the subject would be about a million.
Yeah, that comes down to a bump out kitchen.
So to Mr. Mitsubuli, I did want to ask you. So I when I looked at your appeal, your opinion of the property value was $900,000, which was only like $1,290 higher than last year. So do you only believe your property value went up that much? Because that's less than 1% increase.
Doing the research this time around and working with the county provided data, which we appreciate. And by the way, the Dogwood 2 kitchen does not look like the ones that I know in Dogwood 2s with the bump out. So that looks different to me. But anyways, our request would be, you know, more in line with what the other homes on our street that we believe are a comparable value in the 4% range is what we have a conversation about.
Okay.
Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think mid-900s, you know, low to mid-900s makes sense, but over a million for that house in that neighborhood, the data just doesn't back it up.
Okay, so it sounds like the contention would be that essentially the change due to the quality rating, that you don't see that that's really a real difference between the Franklin property versus the Dogwood property that you picked as a comp.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that would be a difference in the approach taken by the appraisers. So, board members, you're looking at me like you had a question, but okay. So I guess the question is, board members, do you have any further questions or is any other information that we need to make a decision? Okay. All right. Do I have a motion?
I do. I have.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll make a motion if you want me to, but.
I move that the Board of Appeals affirms the tax assessor's valuation for 2025, which in total comes to $1,002,080.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Kearse. Ms. Goodham, did you want to speak to your motion?
Yeah, I think that the core did a good job, maybe not previously, but certainly at this table, describing why they made a change in valuation based on the quality rating. Looking at the some 1,900 homes and saying 21% of them changed because of the builder, and I totally understand that. The models totally understand that. And obviously, nobody likes to see a jump in valuation of double digits, but Loudoun County has seen that year over year since 2020. So, you know, sometimes you get away with a lower value and then other times you don't. So, and then I think that your equity, your comps that you guys pulled because of the square footage, to me, that didn't make your case, because to me, the first two comps that you guys pulled were significantly smaller than what your actual home is. So that's the rationale for my motion.
Mr. Kears?
Yeah, so my comment, I think the core made their case, but I want to kind of address the data that you provided and how I looked at it. One thing you gave was, which helped me, 22 tax valuation, 2023, 2024, 2025 for a number of homes. When you mentioned sales data for 2025, which we're not allowed to consider in the assessment because we have to look at 2024. But what I found interesting is all four of the ones you showed, the houses sold for as much as 19% higher than what their assessed value was this year. One was 19% more, one was 15%, two more were 5% over the assessed value. When I look at increases, not from year to year, because I've seen this with my house, I always look at how did my house go and what did it do to the average. And what I've pretty much found over the years, if I went up quite a bit more, the average was 5%, mine went up 9%. The following year, the average was 8%, mine went up 4%. So it kind of averages out over years. When I looked at the comps that you provided, both the sales data and the ones on Whetstone Court, when you look at since 2022, what is their assessment done? Yours went up 20%, others are 18, 20, 20, 20, 22, a couple at 14. So it kind of shows between up 2022 to 2025, they're all kind of, it averages out, the percentage increase is fairly similar. And the other thing I looked at is the comps that you provided. And the one significant difference in them is the square footage of the home. Most of these other things all average out, which is good. So I looked at just the building, because the land value is all within a couple thousand of each other, and it's based on the size. But I looked at the building value that you were assessed by and divided that by your living area. Your house, it came out to $219 a square foot. When I took your three other comps, and it's interesting, the two that have recent sales, they come out at $244 a square foot. One is at $277 a square foot. The comp that sold in 2015, but the core, what they call an equity comp because there wasn't a sale, that came out to $207 a square foot. So what I did is took those dollars, divide and multiplied it by your living area to determine what would the building value of these three homes be if they were the same size as yours. You were assessed at $699,380. These three came out to $779,580, $885,15, and $661,365. There's one that's a little bit lower than yours. When I average them all together, because I don't want to look at just one, when I average these four together, then the average would have, your house would have been assessed at $756,335. And you're at $699,380. So none of the data that you provided to me gives me any rational thinking of why should their assessment be lower. And as the Corps mentioned, there are several houses on your street. Yes, only two are over a million, but several are within 1 to 2%. They're not in the mid to high nines. So granted, 1% of a million is a lot, but it, again, it shows that the values all kind of fall in line. So that's why, I support the Corps' assessed value.
Good analysis.
Any other comments or questions from board members?
The reason I'll support it as well is looking at the information that you provided, looking at the first comp on Sweet Clover Place, their increase was 9.69, 24 over 25, in your comp.
Yeah, isn't that then also based upon what it sold for and the 95% ratio that you end up maintaining for that? Because there is that, you know, that number for the Commissioner of the Revenue. So I did take a look at where did homes sell? You know, what does the Commissioner of the Revenue say for, you know, how we do it for current service level is maintaining a 95% assessment to sales price ratio. And then, you know, some of these numbers, the reason I put that 95% by Latin tax policy puts their valuations, I mean, in one of them, it goes against it. That's why it was blue. The 2025 tax valuation of 895.80 goes against what the Commissioner of Revenue has for their documentation. And I did do a review of, you know, what happens to homes over, I won't hand it out because I know I didn't put it into the record. But, you know, what happens to homes over 3,000 square feet based upon the data that was provided, again, from the residential valuation by neighborhood. And 56% of homes greater than 3,000 square feet are not current service levels. And so it just is one of those things that I bring up because it's going to be a problem next year. That the county's going to want to go ahead and increase taxes because that's you need tax base to go run the county. But the 95% ratio and the valuations for homes over 3,000 square feet are off.
What do you mean by not a current service level?
It's
something you can look
thought,
at for next year because
we have
we'll,
a motion, so
we,
it's not
we,
presentation
yeah,
anymore.
That's fine. We'd have to be back next year because of it.
Okay. All right. So let me just reiterate: we're not supposed to have discussion now. It's supposed to be board member.
I'm sorry.
Questions? No problem. So I am going to support the motion. I'll say that one thing to keep in mind is we're talking about mass appraisals. So there's methodologies to doing that. And so when they've come with the quality ratings and how they've changed them, they've found features in your property that fell under their, what they felt was an increase in the quality rating. So I would say that generally speaking, they've followed generally accepted GAS.
Appraisal standards.
Yes, appraisal standards. They're following what they're supposed to do, the code and the industry. That's why you see a little, instead of the 4% bump, you see an 11% bump. Outside of that, I can tell you that the Corps does have a process for how they're assessing it. If you think the mass appraisal technique they're using is incorrect, then you would need to demonstrate that. That wasn't even discussed. Also, if you really feel that it's wrong, once we vote, assuming we're going to affirm it, which is what the motion states, I mean, you can go to court and challenge the assessment methodology. And obviously, you got to balance like how much money and time do you want to spend to save, you know, maybe a couple $100, I think.
That's fair.
But generally speaking, I do believe that the Corps is following the process they're supposed to, and they made the assessment equitable with other properties, similar properties. So that said, I'm going to support the motion as well. So with that said, all those in favor of the motion as stated, raise your hand, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so that passes unanimously 5-0. So that affirming the court assessment. So that's that. We're done.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if I could leave these behind just for consideration for next year.
95%.
You know what? I would say if you can hand that to the Corps and they can do what they want with it.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I just want to see what the document is. It's off your website.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the next.
It's on the budget website.
folks, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next case, which is Main Street
Revenue
Station.
Standards, ratios, and then it can take the ratios.
Main Street Station.
Yeah, it just comes down to show the things that are here.
Appreciate
you're taxing over, over what it was sold for. I don't want to be there next year.
Your neighbors will.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good to see you. Thanks all.
Thank you for your time.
Hey, haven't seen you since school stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I'm not doing that. Okay, everybody, we're going to go ahead and start with the appeal number 6829, Main Street Station. We have the representatives here. So if I can start by having you state your...
I don't know if I swore in or not. Did we do...
I will after you give your name.
Sorry, okay. Robert Fay, R-O-B-E-R-T-F-E-Y.
All right, and for the Commissioner of Revenue?
Chidirim Wazwe.
And can you spell your name for the record, please?
H-I-D-I-R-I-M, last name N-W-A-Z-U.
All right, and how do you pronounce that again?
Wazwe.
Wazwe. Wazwe. Wazwe.
Wazwe.
Wazwe.
Yes.
Wazwe.
Yes.
Like W-A-Y. Okay, and I'm sorry, next.
Heike Redden, H-E-I-K-E-R-E-D-D-E-N.
All right. Okay. All right. And so for the, where's my sheet? There it is. Okay, if I can have all three of you raise your hands. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
All right, let the record show that all three have been sworn in. So we will go ahead. Mr. Fay, you already know how things go, so the floor is yours to start.
Cool. So I have no further testimony to add to this case here.
Okay. Ford, do you have anything to present?
Well, the case is about Bank of America and Giant Food being on the ground lease, and we added the building value to the income project. So that's what it is. So his package did not include the building value, so we added it to that. So that's what it's all about.
Okay, so the difference is the building value.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that was straightforward, board members. Well, I'll ask Mr. Fay a question. Mr. Fay, do you believe that it was an error that you kept the building property off and it should have been included, or do you disagree that it should have been added?
I agree with, I think that what the assessor did here seems appropriate and consistent with what they've done in other locations in the county.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions, board members? Do I have a motion? Ms. Goodrum?
I move that we uphold the Corps' assessed value for 2025, which totals $29,799,100.
Do I have a second? Mr. Few, second. Any other comments or questions? Board members. All right. Well, on the motion as stated, all those in favor, raise your hand, say aye.
Aye.
All right. It passes 5-0. Wow. Thank you, Mr. Fay. That is a record as long as I've been on before.
Well, it's going to be a theme for the...
A theme.
It's pretty much all these cases.
Even if I remember last year, I think when you had like 8 data centers, you still have to go through. Okay. All right. All right. So we'll go into the next case. So there are actually 6 appeals here. So I just want to set... set the table here. All 6 appeals for Beatty Limited Partnership This has to do with, is it the Dulles
South
Center?
Dulles
Landing Shopping Center. So I do want to point out for board members, just so that we have clarified, there are only two appeals where we have a difference between the appellate and the core, and it has to do with the improvement value. So the land value, there's no,
no
disagreement
dispute
on the land value. Now, I say that, Mr. Fay, is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, generally we try not to argue what the assessor uses for their land value. So.
Okay. So that said, since we're hearing the appeals, we will hear the appeals, but we'll go ahead and just address the two that are a difference, which are the improvements, and it'll be the same calculation and the same discussion about the improvement values. So that's going to be appeal number 6854 and 6856. So board members, we will vote separately on each appeal, but we're going to hear the discussion together because it's all related. So board members, clear on this? So before I move forward, I'll take your non-response as a yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'd rather have a response. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That said, so Mr. Fay, before I even start, have you and the core come to an agreement on the improvement values for the two properties?
Yeah. I don't know if that's in your case package. I don't have it. But we did discuss like a $3-something million reduction. I'm not sure if that's reflected because it's not up. But yeah, if that's where she's at, that's fine by me.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Well, let me say, Ms. Nwazwe. Okay. So generally speaking, what Mr. Fay said, is that correct that you've sort of come to a settled agreement number?
Yes, sir.
That you believe? Okay. So, that said, can you present the settled numbers that you would propose for the assessment and speak to it? And then I'll switch around. Then I'll go to Mr. Fay if he has anything to add.
Yes, the settlement would affect just one pin, and that pin is 163-2941-42000.
Okay, that's appeal number 6856.
Different one then.
Which
one?
Which one are we doing now? Are we doing 6854 or 6856?
So we're doing them together, but Mr. Nwazwe said that there's only a change to one of the improvement values, and that will be for appeal case 6856.
So we're going to do that one first.
Well, so she's presenting that particular property.
6, 8,
so that improvement value right now, the improvement value is 41.
You don't have
6856
in our...
He should have 6856.
It is.
Yeah. All you have is the cover page because the presentation was. Yeah.
You'll see the improvement on the sheet. The improvement value is set at $41,262,000. That's the improvement value.
Yes.
That's what's on the case sheet
so
right now.
Two pages.
Okay.
54 and 56.
She's trying to make sure that we have a policy.
Yeah, you can see on the screen.
Just so I can clarify understanding between the appellant and the court, that your appeal 6854, you're not challenging that one at all. It's only on 6856 that you've made an agreement. Or do we still need to hear 6854 because there's no agreement?
We made an agreement on 6856. However, 6854, we looked at it as an economic unit. So how it gets allocated, I don't really care.
You're just looking at the total number.
Yeah, the
and
total
then,
number
for you,
fine.
The total number of reduction you're satisfied with, regardless of which one the core applies it to.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Awesome. So the core is proposing to apply it to, and this is pin. So if you can you pull up so the pin showing as well. So if you see that the very first line under parcel information, that's the pin number we're looking at. And then you can see the appeal number 6856. So this is the parcel that the Corps is proposing to reduce based on what the discussions between the Corps and the appellate. So right now, it's assessed at $41,262,000. So now we're all on board? Got it. Okay.
And the new number is $37,698,700.
What was the first?
37,698,700.
All right. So 39. Okay. So 37,698,700. That would be the new improvement number.
Okay.
The Corps is proposed to the appellant. The appellant, and Mr. Fay, that. No, you said the total is fine, but that's a number that you're comfortable with as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So
do you need a motion?
Well, so let me get the numbers correct first. So right now, did you
$57,913 $57,913,000.
Okay, so I will state the facts, and then if someone wants to make a motion, they can. So the Corps appellant have agreed to settle to an improvement amount of $37,698,700. That would make the total value for this parcel $57,913,000. With the land staying at $20,214,300. So the facts, you're good with the facts, the facts. Okay, so board members, do we have any questions or do I have a motion?
I move.
Mr. Saltzman.
They'll be set the agreement.
The settlement amount?
The settlement with the amounts you just stated.
Okay, so. So, for the record, since it's being recorded, is your motion to affirm the land value of $2,214,300?
$20 million.
You just said two.
You're right. Back up, start again. To affirm the land value of $20,214,300 and to reduce the improvement value to $37,698,700 for a total value, assessed value, of $57,913,000.
That's my motion.
Awesome.
That's what I thought it was.
I second the motion.
Okay. So, motion, Mr. Saltzman.
Seconded by
Ms. Goodrum. Are there any questions or comments, board members? All right, all those in favor of the motion is stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. All right, so then we will go to appeal number 6854, which is PIN number 16328783600. I believe both the Corps and Mr. Fay, that you're both fine with the current assessed value?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we agreed to the settlement.
To settle that, yes. That is a more accurate statement. Okay. So, board members, do I have any comments or questions, or do I have a motion?
What's the settlement amount that you guys
which one
have?
Are we doing?
6854.
It's still the same package.
Still the same
there's 7 here, sorry.
So 6854 is the only other one that has an improvement value.
It's right here.
So I'll just make the motion. I move to affirm the Corps' current assessment value for PIN number 16328783600. The land value of $11,879,700, the improvement value of $7,842,700, for a total value of 19,000,000. $722,400. That's my motion.
Second.
Do I second? Okay, Mr. Kears seconded. Are there any comments or questions?
Yeah, my question is, sure. I thought I just heard Mr. Fay say that they've agreed on an alternative amount. Did I not hear that accurately?
That was just the first parcel. Like, we looked at it as multiple parcels,
okay.
One total value. Adjustment was made to just one of the parcels.
Okay.
That's the rest are going to remain the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I feel like I'm playing a puzzle.
You are.
Sorry. Yeah.
So, okay. So, any more comments or questions? All right, all those in favor of the motion, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
No. Motion passes 5-0.
You did the motion.
Mr. Kears seconded. The chair, Mr. Keister, moved to affirm. So that was 6854. So right now, we already voted on 6856 to reduce. We voted on 6854 to affirm. So now we have appeal case 6851, which is just for land. And I will, you know what? I'm just going to do the motions. And if you guys want to talk about anything or ask questions, you can. So for appeal case 6851, I move to affirm the Corps' assessed value of land of $789,000, improvements of zero, total value of $789,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I'll go with Mr. Saltzman on the second this time. Okay, any comments or questions?
No.
All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Okay. Appeal number 6852. I move to affirm the Corps' assessed value of land of $1,565,300, improvements of zero, total value of $1,565,300. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Fugue seconds. Any comments or questions? All those in favor of the motion as stated, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Kears, were you in favor of? Okay. That passes 5-0. Okay. Appeal number 6855. I move that we affirm the Corps' assessed value of $1,300 of land, $0 of improvement, for a total value of $1,300. Do I have a second? Mr. Saltzman, thank you.
That's not on my packet.
Appeal number 6855.
Yeah, missing it. Yeah, missing it.
For $1,300.
Oh, it's so. Not. Okay. 54, 56.
Go back one.
57.
Go back one.
All right. So we have a motion and a second to affirm. Do you have any comments or questions? All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand and say aye.
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 Aye. Passes unanimously. And then the final appeal for Beatty Limited is 6857. I move to affirm the Corps' assessed land value of $63,300, improvements of zero, and total value of $63,300. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. And Ms. Goodrum seconds. Any comments or questions? All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand and say aye.
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 That motion also passes unanimously 5-0. So that addresses all of the appeal cases under Beatty Limited Partnership. All right. Mr. Fay, you have the last two as well, correct?
Yeah, I probably have the rest for the day. I'm not sure what's on the schedule.
Okay.
Just two more.
Yeah. So, Mr. Fay, before I open the next two, have you come to an agreement with the Corps on these two as well? Or sort of? Or maybe one of them and not the other?
No.
Okay, so we'll present the case. All right, so I'll pause to say, do board members, anybody need a quick 5-minute break, 10-minute break?
That'd be great. 5-minute break.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and take a 10-minute break. So we'll go ahead and join the meeting for 10 minutes.